Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. Now, among the disciples were some Greeks. And they came up to the disciples, to Philip, and they said, "We want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus." They'd heard about him, and they'd heard about the miracles that he had done, and they want to see him. And in a typical kind of Lutheran way, Philip went to see Andrew, and Andrew went to see Philip, and finally the message got to Jesus. First question, did the Greeks ever get to see Jesus in this story? No. Typical Jesus. He answers this whole thing in a weird and odd way. "I want to see Jesus." And Jesus answered them this: "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth, it dies. It just remains a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And even worse, those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me." Throughout this part of John and in this gospel lesson, one word comes up time and time again: glory and glorified. It is time for the Son of Man to be glorified. And then later in the text, a voice comes. Jesus says, "Father, save me from this hour. No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Glorify, glorify, glorify. So I wondered, what does glory mean to you? This is one of those annoying interactive moments. When you hear the word glory, what do you think? Anybody? Praise, yeah, glory and praise. We had a hymnal called that years ago. Glory and praise. Yeah, what else? Glory. What's that?
Success.
Success, yes, glory. Yes, what else?
Or fame.
Fame, yeah, fame is another thing we associate with glory. Anything else?
Prestige.
Yes, we think of the queen in all of her glory, walking down with the people. So what an odd word for Jesus to use. When I heard the word glory, I was reminded of an old episode of MASH. So those of you who are young, I'm sorry, watch a rerun. Get over it. So MASH is set in Korea, for those of you who don't know. And in this particular episode, Robert Iron Guts Kelly is coming to do his inspection, renowned for his incredible feats on the battlefield. And everyone just loves General Kelly, and he's just the soldier. And he's had this terribly distinguished career. Everyone's afraid of him. Everyone respects him. He is glorious. He ends up in Margaret Houlihan's tent one night, where he dies in her bed. This glorious hero. And his colonel, his marketer, his handler, immediately goes into panic mode. And he says to those who are around him, "Get me a radio." They get him a radio, and he starts calling around to all of the battlefields because he wants Robert Iron Guts Kelly to be remembered in glory. And he says to those who are around, I will not have the general die this way. And so he calls the first battle and he says, is there any shooting going on there? Any bombing? And he says, you're only hearing one side of the deal. And he says, no. Oh, just dysentery. No, that won't work. And then he goes on to the next one. And finally they find one where there are, he says, are there rockets? And they say, yes. He says, are there bombs? And he says, yes. He says, are things blowing up? And they say, yes. And they take his dead body. And they load it into the ambulance, and the colonel says, Robert Iron Guts Kelly will be remembered for a star-spangled, rocket-filled, glorious death. And they haul his body up to the battlefield, and it reads in the paper the next day how he had died in combat, a glorious death. That's the glory we're used to. But Jesus is talking about something quite different. In the Gospel of John, Jesus is on his journey to Jerusalem. And already twice before this text, he's talked about being glorified. But it isn't the resurrection he's talking about. That's not the glorification. For Jesus, glory is altogether different. The glory of Jesus is wrapped up in this new covenant that we read about in Jeremiah. God is doing a new thing. Jesus will glorify the name of God. Jesus will be glorified not in star-spangled, rocket-filled, star-shooting, crazy, wonderful moment, but on a cross. It's exactly the opposite of what we expect. The glory of Jesus is bound up in this new promise that God has made with each and every one of us. To be with us forever. And that the law will be written on our foreheads and in our hearts in such a deep and powerful and lasting way that we will finally know what love is. The glory of Jesus leads us, as he says, from darkness into the light. You see, we are on our way with Jesus to that same cross and that same love and that same glory. Well, if this is what God means by glory, then we may need to have a little recalibration in our world. We may need to have a little recalibration about what it means to be the church. Mark, you're 3 minutes early. For once. We need to recalibrate what we're doing in the world when we think about what it means to have glory and to be part of the glory that is God. For God's vision is not for us to be glorified in the traditional way, but rather to be wrapped up in the vision of God and to be known and know God in such a deep way that we know what love is. And to follow Christ to and through the cross. A couple of weeks ago, the young people at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School began to speak out. And I was shocked, as I said a couple of weeks ago, at how quickly this really quite self-sacrificial moment for those young people was cast as self-glorification. That they were just in it for the publicity. I've watched those young people and young people around this nation, and I don't see any self-glorification. At least for me, they are leading us to the cross. To see a world where love lives. Where we begin to do all the stuff that we've been called to in the gospel of Jesus Christ, to give up for from ourselves for the sake of others, to follow Jesus and celebrate in a way that is for the good of our neighbor and for the world. Because God is doing a new thing, and God is making with us a new covenant. And we in the church, as we recalibrate to learn how to celebrate the service of others, to live deeply and passionately in the world and to share the proclamation of God's word of peace and care wherever we go, and to care for the earth with such passion that everything changes, and to care for one another so deeply that everything changes. So maybe God is making a new covenant with us. It's not like the other covenant. It is a covenant that will immerse us so deeply in law and one another that we will finally see what God always intended. God's love. Amen.